When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, I have to say, sound a little different today, man.
Yeah?
You sound like maybe your like left arm feels a little heavier or something. You know, this is like this new post-tattoo Ben. I'm not sure he sounds the same.
It's a new voice. It's a brand new confidence.
It's a brand new Ben.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So it's been really interesting to me because because of the way that we recorded, it meant coming home and having my tattoo and having like been through the whole process and then having a full week of time where like the announcement that I was going to do the tattoo hadn't even happened yet. So it's like been like one of these like weird things where it seems like in varying degrees. And then like interesting as well, like Alice posted a picture of the tattoo on her personal Instagram. So
yeah,
like,
if you were trying to follow the timeline of when Ben got the tattoo versus when he talked about it versus when he recorded getting it, it's all over the place.
It is all over the place. Yeah, exactly. So like people have seen it. It's like it has now officially been in one Super
it's
Carlin
been
Brothers?
In a Super Carlin Brothers video, yeah, because it was in the video that came out on Friday, our second Hunger Games video.
Oh man, we've been having so much fun doing some Hunger Games deep
dive. It has been a lot of fun, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, before we dive into that, which we totally can and should, so I finally got the tattoo, got the experience, got to go through and do the whole thing. I took my solo trip to New York City, which was very interesting and weird. And I think I learned very quickly that I'm just like exceptionally bad at sitting by myself at like restaurants and like trying to figure out like how I fit into this space or whatever. And so like it was really cool because I was going to Brooklyn, and in Brooklyn, I don't know if this is a thing or not. It seemed like when I was researching for a place to stay, though, it seemed to be the case that like there are not like chain hotels. They're all like more local and specific to the area.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was staying in a hotel that was like very Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, it was like swanky and cool and had like a coffee bar and a cocktail bar and like a rooftop bar.
Lots of exposed brick and like industrial iron pipes and wooden tables and
all of the above.
Yeah. Edison light bulbs.
Of course. Oh yeah. 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 Naturally. But LED Edison light bulbs.
Of course.
But no, so the space was super, super neat. And, the room itself, you know, it was like kind of like your classic, like New York City room that you're staying in. So it's like very small, but I got there and I felt like the amount of adventure that I had like endeavored on at this point in time was such that like, I don't think I had any more capacity to adventure any more than what I was already doing.
Right.
But that also meant that I had a fair bit of like downtime to just sort of like figure out how to make hours of the day pass so that I could reach the point where I could go to sleep.
Right. And you didn't have like a specific destination. So, and it wasn't like, I'll just go wander the streets.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, like I got there and I landed and I was like, well, maybe I'll just go see if I can get like some last minute tickets to like a show or something. But like, even that was like a 35 minute, like Uber ride from like where I was to where the show was going to be. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I mean, it's like not that big of a deal, but I was just like, then I'm going to go and be the show by myself. I don't know. Maybe I should have done it. But, either which way, I went up to the top of like the rooftop bar or whatever, which I guess like this hotel, lots of people might come to the hotel itself just to go to this restaurant. Like, even if they're not staying there, if that makes sense. Like, it's
absolutely,
You get up to the rooftop, and there's just this, like, total, like, end to end, wide open air view of, like, downtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
I wonder, that must be more of a thing in, like, bigger cities and stuff, that just, like, restaurants that aren't on street level are more of a like an accepted practice kind of thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly.
I remember we went to when we went to Chicago for Beth's marathon. It was like everyone was going out to dinner after the race had happened, and they found, you know, they heard about this cool place, and we were walking around trying to find it, and we're like, oh, I think this is the building. So we go inside, and then it's like elevator ride up to the 17th floor, and then you get out, and like, sure enough, it's like a fancy restaurant. It was such a cool place, and they had great food, and it was like, how are people supposed to know about this?
Right.
Like, right. How, like if you were just walking, they're getting zero street traffic, you know, you have to know about it.
But that's the thing, is I feel like in a place like that, where there's just so much more like people and demand, and you know, like everybody there is kind of like looking for those kinds of experiences, I guess.
Right. Like the population density is so high that it's like, it's okay if everyone walking past doesn't know about it. We only need enough customers to know about it that will continue to fund the restaurant.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you're talking about like in specific areas, you might look at like your potential market share, and it's like, okay, like in order to make it, we need to capture like 15% market share of all people looking for, you know, this form of cuisine or something. And it's like there, it's like, as long as we have like 0.2% of the population coming here, we're fine.
We're good.
It's like, so we're fine. The market share is massively spread out. But either which way, so I go up and you know, like I asked if there was like room, and they're like, well, there's a spot at the bar. And I was like, okay, well, I'll eat at the bar. It's no problem. So I get up there though, and I'm finding myself in just this like very like, you know, I don't even know. It was a situation I felt like. So I was,
Everyone could tell I'm by myself.
Everyone could tell I'm by myself. Yeah. So I'm like parked between, like to my left are like two girls who, one of whom was from the area and the other was like a childhood friend who was like visiting. And like that girl's back was directly to me. Like they were talking. And then to my right was like a couple who was there, and the girl's back was directly to me talking to the guy. And so like, I'm sitting at the bar, and it's right in front of where this particular bartender on this big, long, you know, bar was working. So like me and this guy are like, you know, literally if I'm sitting where I'm sitting, he was like 3.5 feet in front of me for the entire dinner. And yet it was kind of like one of these things where I was like, do I make like small talk and chat with this guy and just sort of be like, so where are you from, man?
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, like, yeah, like sort of just like deep dive into it. And it's also fully chaotic. So there's all sorts of just like moving parts and you know, people like running back and forth and delivering dishes and shaking drinks and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, it's just like, so I'm just sort of like sitting there, and I'm like trying to like figure out how to like not be staring at people or like being awkward or whatever. And even the place itself is known for this like huge plate of appetizers, which is like, it comes out, it's probably like a 15-inch plate, and it's like set up like a clock.
Oh.
And all the way across the like the circumference of the plate are different dishes, all of which are like, you know, uniquely pickled vegetables or like a kind of cheese or like,
yeah,
a
like
hummus
just a real fancy charcuterie board or something.
Exactly. They were like, you know, and so like I asked the guy, I was like, well, you know, like, what do you think? And he's like, well, this is like what we're known for. Like, this is like what people come for. And I was like, and I was looking to the people on either side of me. I was like, is it too much for one person? And he was like, oh, absolutely it is. And I was like, should I do it? And he's like, you should definitely do it.
Yeah. Do it anyway.
Yeah. So, you know, like I'm sitting there and like they bring this, I mean, it's like pounds of food.
Yeah.
You know,
the clock shootery.
Yeah. The clock shootery. Wow. Coin that for
sure. Thank you. Yeah.
And you know, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, like I'm trying to eat and like pace myself. But like also when you have nobody to talk to or nothing else to do, I'm just sort of oddly eating very fast all of a sudden, which
oh my gosh, this happens to me at like every party ever, where like I go, and typically, you know, if you go, at any given party, there's like, you know, there's like the table of food, and it's like, oh yeah, go help yourself, get some food. And it's always like, I always like that part. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go here, and my goal is to load up my plate with as many things as possible, so that as I'm standing there, even if I'm not talking to someone, at least I'm eating.
Oh yeah.
You know, I don't look awkward because I'm eating. I'm not talking to people because I'm eating, but then I will like, I'll feel like, all right, I got a good amount of stuff. I'm so set for a while here. So I'm free to not be involved in a conversation if it comes to that in a while. And then it's like 2 minutes later, I'm like, crap, I ate all my food.
I know.
I really didn't pace this out very well. I got to go get more.
That's exactly, yeah. I'm the exact same way. You got to have a prop at a party. Yeah. And so like a lot of times I'll just like, I'll like walk around and like just have like a drink in my hand. And that way if there's like a lull or whatever, it's like, you just take a sip while you think of like the next thing to say.
Yeah.
And then I end up, I'm like, you know, like, so it's at every single party, I'm very unintentionally like nervous sipping, and it's like, okay, well now I've gone through like way too much.
Oh, yes. Same thing. Yeah, same thing. Now I'm done with my drink already, man.
Yeah, I know. Ah, shoot. Another task to go and do though. Go refill it or something.
Right. And then, but if you go back for like the second or third time, you start feeling like, you know, it's pretty obvious what I'm doing here, or that I'm just way more interested in the food than everyone else or something.
Yeah. You know, like, everybody's watching me.
Everyone's watching.
This is like the thing that's just so not true about parties. Is like nobody, it's the same thing about like, if you feel like you can't make it to a party and you're like, God, they're going to be so upset with me. And it's like, chances are there, if like they're in host mode, they're like just talking with everybody. It's like they are so busy.
Yeah,
that it's fine. Anyway, though, so I'm having this sort of like, you know, experience, and the food was amazing. I mean, it was really good, and like I said, the view of like downtown Manhattan was absolutely beautiful. So like, I finished with my meal. It's like 7:15. I'm like, I'm not gonna be able to sleep for like at least another like 3 hours. And you know, so like, I asked the guy, I was like, is there somewhere I can go where I won't bother anybody, where I can just like take in the view? And he kind of looked at me like, that's a strange question that I never get, you know. And I was like, because the other thing too is I like had like a drink with dinner, and I was like, but I don't want to like I have like a big day tomorrow. I was like, the last thing, like I'm not here to try to drink. I just also like I needed the prop.
Yeah,
you know, right. I need to hold something.
Got to be doing something, you know. Yeah.
Right. So he's like, well, there's a balcony over there. People love that spot. So I was like, all right, perfect. So I walk out to the balcony. There's like nobody, you know, on this like bistro table or whatever. So I'm sitting there. I'm like looking at it. I'm just sort of like literally just watching the sunset over the city. And I was like, well, this is like absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like the view can't be much better except for that one building that's right in front of us. And so like, I'm like watching this other rooftop bar, like slowly like fill with people. And it has like a water tower on top of it. That's been like converted into like a speakeasy up on top.
Very cool.
And I was like, well, that's pretty neat. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll try to be adventurous.
And go over to that bar.
I was like, I'm going to leave this building and walk over to that building. That'll give me something to do for a minute.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, I've got a new mission. This is going to be great. I got stuff to do.
I'm going to increase my view by one building.
By one building, yeah. And about like a minute and 45 seconds later, I'm standing on top of that building. And I'm like, well.
Now I also have nothing to do. That's what you made it up there, though. It wasn't like a closed event or anything? No.
I had to pay a cover, which I was fine with, because I was like, you know, at this point, I'm just trying to like experience like something.
Yeah.
You know, but you get there and it's definitely just like, it was much more of like a party atmosphere, which was even harder for me to assimilate to. Because, you know, like people are up there like dancing. There's like a whole thing going on, like a super active, like, you know, bar. Like,
guys, I'm trying to enjoy the view.
I know. Yeah. So I wind my way up like the water tower, where there's this like absolutely spectacular view, but the, like the front row of everything is all like taken by people who are standing there taking pictures and stuff. So I'm like sort of like leaned back against the wall, standing on like a bench, just staring out at the view with my arms crossed, and I was like, this is so awkward.
Like, you're so aware of your like alone individualness.
Yeah. I was just like, everybody's here. Everybody has someone to talk to. And I'm just like, some dude standing here by myself.
Right. It's like, there's nothing wrong with going out and just spending time alone. It's just like, you feel like no one would choose to come here by themselves.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's just like, it was beautiful. It really was beautiful. And it was really cool just to like be there and just like see it unfold. And like, I never see stuff like this, you know, back home. So, I mean, it was kind of like, okay, that's cool. But so at some point in time, it was just sort of like, I can't stand here by myself anymore. So I go back to the room. And at this point in time, I'm just fully starting to go into like freak out mode, because at this point in time, I still don't know what is going to be permanently illustrated onto my human.
Yeah, the next day.
The next day.
Right.
And I'm like, I have to come up with something. There has to be a jumping off point. Like, what do I tell this guy when I meet him?
Was there like a part of you that was like, I don't know, but I know that it at some point between now and me making the appointment, I am positive it will arrive to me because I have like set my brain to work on it. And so I don't know, but I know that I will know.
Yes, exactly. That's what I kept thinking the whole time. It was just sort of like, I kept thinking to myself, I was like, well, I'll be on the trip by myself. I'll have nothing but time. And I will be able to use that time to like, to not be worried about like, you know, like everything, like being a parent. I won't have to worry about like, you know, running a business or
doing writing a script.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, or even just being like with Alice, you know, at home, like just like where we have like all of our own, you know, like things going on and like our relationship and all the rest. And so it's just like, I'll have nothing but time to sit and think. And I know it will just like strike and I'll just know what's it like. I'll be like, okay, I found it. I found the thing. And that had still not happened yet. And so the next morning I show up and I'm so excited to meet this guy. Cause like, like I said, I'd seen all of his work and it was just like everything about all of it. I was like, it's so thoughtful and intentional. And like, you can just like, you can look at it and immediately like derive meaning and it's all like, like unique and stuff. And, so like I get down and like, you know, we start talking and I'm telling him about like, you know, all the different aspects of my life and my hesitation about coming there to have like the meeting and like, you know, some of like the big worldly contemplations that I've always got. And this guy is like clicking with me exactly right. He's just sort of like he is like the,
I hear you. Yeah. I thought about that.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's like, yes, yes. Like, you know, like so many times where he like, you know, clearly like, has a similar, like frequency or something to those deep thoughts
that are always
going on. But there was also the point where he was like, I can't tell you what to put on you. Like I can't just make something up and have it be right. Like you have to tell me something.
You got to give me something.
Yeah. So like, you know, I talked a lot about like sort of my people pleaser tendencies and, you know, just like how, like, I don't know, like I'm going through like all these different aspects of like, what is the meaning? And, you know, like all these, just like every single big thought I've ever had, I throw all of it at this guy, sort of like what's going to stick.
Yeah. What stands out to you?
Right. And so there's this one tattoo that originally led me to this guy in particular. And that tattoo that I had found had these like two lion heads depicted in it. And like one of them was sort of like snarling and the other one was sort of like majestic. But like, I think it's very much intended to be like the same lion, but speaks to this like duality of nature type
right,
thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I sort of can like resonate with that because I feel like on like part of even like the people pleasing aspect of my personality is almost like the snarling version of it, for example, might be like the actual interior like emotions that I might feel through all these situations, whereas the like majestic, calm, peaceful looking version is like what I might like press forward.
Yeah.
So there's like the inner me and then the outer me. And you know, like the knowledge that they're both me.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense, is like a piece of like why I think it was like, it's not to say that like one of them is fake. It's just sort of like they're different.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know. Like it's like that both of those things exist within me at once. But when I had talked to Alice before going, there was like one thing in particular. I was like, is there anything on your no fly list? Like anything in particular that you would say like, don't do this. And so the one thing that she told me was lions.
And I suppose you could have done like another animal, right? Just that represented the same meaning.
You could have, but then you have to pick one. And I don't know why or what it is about a lion in particular. Like for one, Allie is like a Leo. And so having her depicted somehow was sort of like, okay, like that feels like a way to do it in a way that also feels like connected and not just random.
Yeah.
But then it was sort of, and for some reason in my mind, lion doesn't feel specific. Like it doesn't like, you know, if I were to do like a walrus, for example, it's like, that is a specific animal.
People would have to be like, what's your connection with walruses?
Right. But like, it, for whatever reason, I was like, people don't need to know what your connection is with a lion. Like everybody connects with lions.
And lions speak for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, exactly.
It represents animals.
I can't believe you just didn't go for scorpions then, you know,
just straight
scorpions. People would be like, now you have to be like, now I get it. The differences are subtle. Scorpions, not a really expressive species.
Right. Not so much. This is an angry scorpion and a not angry scorpion. Can you tell the difference?
They look the same, dude. I don't know.
No, this one's smiling. You can tell it's smiling.
It's smiling.
The smiling.
Scorpions, it's a classic scorpion smile.
Yes, of course.
The happiest of animals.
So I'm talking to him about it. I'm telling him like the tattoo that like led me to him in the first place. And you know, he knows the exact tattoo that I'm talking about. And he's like, oh my gosh, yeah, of course. So like we finally go up to like this really cool studio that like overlooks all of like Brooklyn, and it's just got floor to ceiling windows, and it's like a very small space, but it's like super like modern and industrial and creative and open air and like all sorts of stuff. It's just like being in the room itself, you're like, this is cool. Me.
This is all right. All right, man.
It's like, I can't believe I'm the type of person who gets to stand in this room.
I know. Ben's a Scorpio, by the way. That's why I suggested Scorpions. I don't think we specified that, but because he mentioned Alice was a Leo, Ben's a Scorpio.
There you go.
Anyway, yeah, that's all. In case you were like, why Scorpions?
Yeah. Connective tissue has been formed.
There we go.
So he sits down and he starts drawing or whatever. And, you know, like we've had this whole big conversation and all the rest. And, you know, he like has been tinkering around on like, you know, the computer and like bringing in like all these like different elements. And he shows me like this full big composition and like dead center, most prominent like aspect of all of it are lions.
And oh, man.
It's like, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I don't know what to do here because the people pleasing aspect of my personality literally took on its end, flipped over, and then wound together in the weirdest way.
Right.
Where like if I were at a restaurant, for example, and somebody brought me a dish that wasn't what I ordered, I would 100% just eat it anyway. It would be like, okay, don't worry about it. So this looks good.
Right.
You know? And so the people pleasing was being ripped basically between being like, he's done a lot of work on this already and he's produced a concept and that I don't want to tell him like, no, I can't do that because also I'm trying to like, because my wife specifically asked me not to do this one concept. And that was the only thing she said. And so it was really funny the way it was kind of like, I was like, oh man, well, and you know, so then I'm like, there's one thing that my wife asked me not to get. And it's lions.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, but dude, this is the moment. Like, we've been talking
to me all morning. You haven't been able to settle on something that like you were finally leaning towards a lion. Then you got a call from your wife. She said, no lions.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, do you understand like what this represents? Like, this is like the moment to do. And in my mind, I'm like, at the end of the day, even if on some level you wanted to compare this to like people pleasing, it's like it 10,000% matters to me that my wife likes it.
Right.
Like no matter what, that is like an essential piece.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Of course.
I want her to like it. And
it's not people pleasing. It's wife pleasing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which is like
different.
Fundamental. Yeah. And so.
But from his point of view, I'm sure he's witnessing like some kind of harmonic convergence here. Just like this, you know, he sounds like a very spiritual person.
Yes.
Just like, dude, we've been going back and forth. We've been diving deep. You've been talking about people pleasing. You chose something and now someone said, don't do it. Like, are you going to people please?
I know. Yeah. So it's like it all feels very symbolic.
Like,
right, yeah. Now,
he's like, this
it?
Happens to me every day.
Right. And meanwhile, I'm like literally like freaking out.
Yeah.
I like inside of this moment, and I don't even know if this is a real thing. Someone will have to science, let me know whether or not it is. But I felt like all at once I could smell myself.
Wow.
And I was like, did my body like just off put like something as
some
like
pheromones going or something
exactly
yeah.
like literally I was yeah. like I am like aware of my own scent all of a sudden in a way that literally I never am. And I think it was probably because I was just in a mild state of just very very nervous and anxious about this entire experience. So I was like, well, that was a weird thing that just happened. But then we close the laptop, we start talking a little bit more. He's like, you're trying to incorporate too many things into this concept. Like, you're trying to encompass everything, and if we try to do all of it, it's not going to make sense. Like, you have to be okay with this piece speaking to like the specific message that it has.
Right.
And so then it was sort of like, let's dial it back a little bit. Let's take a few steps backwards and like let's zero in. And as soon as we did that, I think like a lot of all of my like qualms that I've been having for this whole time, like leading up to this whole process, like the indecisiveness, the inability to like imagine anything, like went away. And it was sort of like, which sounds obvious. It's like think, try not to do so much with one thing. Don't make it a Swiss Army knife. tattoo of meanings.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh no, this symbolizes this and this symbolizes this and this and that, and you know, and like, and so once we did that, we basically landed on this tree concept. And I have always liked the tree of life style of like tattoos. I just think it's like interesting. I also just like trees and like wood in general and in life. And so finally, like, you know, we scrap the lion concept entirely, which, by the way, if anybody has lion tattoos, I am not even opposed to it. I think they're awesome.
Right.
this is not me saying like that there is anything even like remotely like that, like not right about like something like that. I mean, if anything, I love it, but it's, you know, that was like the departure. So anyway, so we landed on this tree concept. It's like a tree of life. And the idea is basically that you've got like roots that grow up into like the tree. And then there's like a trunk in the middle where we have, the sign for Leo and Scorpio, which is both, it's actually me and Allie, but also me or Addison and Allie. And they form a circle around the trunk, which then feeds into the top of the tree, which is broken into four seasons. So you've got like the four seasons of the year. So like some of the leaves have like fall leaves, some have snow, some are like darker green, some are whatever. So it's sort of like the seasons of life, which then you experience like with your family, which is Addison and Allie for me, you know, throughout, you know, going forward. And then the rest of the tattoo is like a huge portion of it has this like section. If you've seen a picture of it, or it's like on the thumbnail for this video.
Yeah.
It's also on Alice's Instagram. If you want to go and find her on there, and we'll post pictures of it to Patreon and stuff like that as well. But there's a big section in the middle that sort of forms like a circle. And this was like one of those moments where, it actually was really cool because I was able to sort of like give something to the artist, which is that like he, has like a very specific style. He's, you know, he's got like his like hyper detailed stuff and everything, but he was like, can I just have a piece of the tattoo to do what I think is right to like fill out the composition? And so it was just sort of like, this was like your question last week, which was like, if you just put a sheet over it and was just like, can I just go to work and you'll see what's there?
You'll see what's there.
It was like, in a way I was like, I'm so glad you had said that, because I think it made me so open to this addition, as I was like, yes.
Yeah,
you know what?
It.
Yes. Like, I want to see, like, if you just feel like something is right, what is it? And do that. So the kind of like ring around the middle there is, or around the sort of outside middle, those are all just sort of like symbols that he just thought like looked really like neat and fit together, but they don't have like specific, they're not like runes or have like a specific meaning or anything. And then at the very top is the alchemical symbol for gold, which basically just goes back to the concept of the golden rule, which was maybe like the one inclusion of the tattoo that I think for composition purposes, it was included, that doesn't necessarily fit the theme of the rest of it. But the golden rule is definitely something that, like, since I was like a little kid, I always sort of like resonated with. And it's been, if there is any level of philosophy that I have maintained for my entire life, it's just basically treat others the way you want to be treated.
Yeah. I mean, it's that to me, it's such an interesting thing about that rule. Cause I've been like, me and we've been like talking to Luke about that like concept lately.
Yes.
But it's like, it's interesting to me that it is basically present in every major religion, is do unto others as you would have others do unto yourself. It's like, no matter what direction you're coming from, everyone sort of settles on that.
Yeah. It's like such an agreed upon, like, it's such an agreed upon and an interesting way to land on this conclusion that is like, so unique, but also applicable to every single human being.
Yeah.
Like, everybody individually may have a different meaning in their mind as to what it means to treat others the way that you want to be treated.
Right.
You know, maybe it's the case that you're like, I want everyone in my life to like push me really hard to achieve more. And therefore that is how I treat all other people. But at the end of the day, if those two things coalesce, I think that like in a perfect world, that should yield hopefully, like a balance of sorts,
right.
You know, in terms of like how you're going about doing things. So, anyway, that's the capstone to it. But I am honestly the whole experience, it was a 5-hour, like actual like tattooing that took place. where I guess it, actually even what the artist himself had told me was that it normally would have actually gone faster, but apparently I have thick skin.
Oh.
The first time I've ever been accused of that. Of having thick skin. So apparently there's something to keep in mind for all future work, if any, that I have done, is that apparently it will take me a little bit longer to actually receive the ink. But the pain wasn't as bad as I expected.
Well, that's cool.
I would call it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
The big thing I always come back to with pain is I feel like there's unknown pain, which is unnerving because you don't understand it.
Yeah.
So like if you go for a run and you get back and like your like hip is super seized up, it's like it might not even be that painful, but you don't know why it's happening.
Right. There's like panic and fear associated with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then there's like the additional, like the word I always use, I almost feel like needs to come with its own like trigger warning, but it's just literally like mutilation. Mm. So the best way I was able to keep describing the tattooing feeling for me was almost as if like something really sharp was cutting your arm, but, and if it was something really sharp that was cutting my arm and it was being done with malice, then it's like, I think it would hurt a lot because of the associated like physical damage that was being done to my person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like what bad is going to accompany.
Yeah.
And that's probably unknown a little bit too, but what bad is going to accompany this pain? But because this was so easy to like acknowledge and understand why it was happening, it was like, well yes, it hurts. But like one, I knew it would hurt some amount.
Yeah.
And also like I am like very in control of how and why it's happening to me.
Yeah.
I came here for this to happen.
Yeah.
So that was like one of the big questions people kept asking me. And then the other one was like, are you hooked? Which is like the, will
are you getting another one?
Will there be more?
Yeah.
Which I will say that once I had that click on what the composition of it, what it would look like and everything would be, and not trying to do so much with one image, I was like, oh, now everything makes a lot more sense. And now I do have other ideas that I can picture clearly.
Right.
So there is that, but I think that no matter what, I will sit with this one for a little bit and just like kind of get to know it. And
excellent.
new part of myself. So anyway, that's the saga. Bucket list item complete.
Bam. Nice tattoo. And it looks awesome. It's really cool. If you guys haven't seen it yet, definitely go check it out on like either Alice's Instagram or Patreon or wherever. We should probably just put a picture of it on like the Carlin Brothers Instagram.
We can do that as well. Yeah. Shout out to the at Carlin Brothers Instagram if you want to go and check it out.
Yeah, yeah, right. Boom. Go check it out.
How about time for a transition?
Let's do it. Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop. Okay, Jay, so I have a question for you because I feel like I've been talking a whole lot. You have an interesting comment in the show notes here, which is my headphones and the anti-burp setting.
Oh, my. Well, gosh, if you want to go from your very profound journey to my very, like, stupid and silly
yes, I want
problem.
That. I want that so bad.
We have over when I'm working at our desk, we have like a set of wireless headphones, the Sony WX4000 or something. I think that's what it is. I don't know. Whatever it is. They're really good headphones. I really enjoy them a lot. They're extremely comfortable and they do like the sound canceling. They're wireless. They are booted up to my computer.
They almost do sound canceling to such an aggressive fault, which is that like people can walk in to the office and be like, hey, quick question. And you know, like we will not hear them at all.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, if like you and I are both have our headphones on and we're trying to like holler at the other person, the frequency at which it's like, hey, what did you mean by this? Jay.
Yeah.
Jay.
Ooh, you gotta like wave to get their attention.
Yeah.
But so they have this, they're like pretty advanced. It's not just headphones. They have like a bunch. Well, they only have like two buttons on them. One of them is the power button and the other one is like the connect Bluetooth button. And you can use that other button to like cycle through several different, like I want noise canceling on or noise canceling off or whatever. But you don't have full control over the headphones capabilities from the headphones themselves. Like if you want to get inside and change a bunch of the settings, you then have to go download an app on your phone and then connect your phone to the Bluetooth on the headphones and then adjust the settings and stuff like that.
Okay.
Which we'll get back to that. But so anyway, one of the built-in features that you cannot turn off via the headphones without downloading the app is that if you are wearing the headphones and you talk out loud, it will stop the noise canceling, because what it assumes you're doing is talking to someone else and it wants you to be able to hear what they say back.
Yes. Okay. This, and it is a feature of the headphones that I find to be quite frustrating.
Yes.
Because, and maybe it's because you and I do just physically work so close to each other, but the, like if you answer a phone call, like if you get a call from Beth, for example, and I'm working on like a video and like you say like, hello, you know, like it will be loud enough to register in my headphones and be like, oh, no, I know you want to hear what they're saying. Right. And it's like, no, I do not want to hear what they're saying. Like at all.
Yeah, it is an annoying feature and you cannot turn it off via the headphones. So normally though, like a lot of times it doesn't come into play that much. Cause normally when I'm, normally like when you're actively listening to something, you're not also speaking out loud.
Right.
You know, so you're not like cutting it off too very often, unless that's maybe true. You're like singing along with whatever you're listening to, which I feel like must be more of a thing than like never, you know?
Yes, right. Yeah. No, that, can I just say, just a brief aside here was it took me an embarrassingly long period of time to realize that when you have headphones on and you're singing along and like, you know, air quotes, harmonizing with the singer of the song itself, you hear mostly them, and so you're singing out loud in a way, but you can't hear your own voice, so your own voice is really far off from being harmonized because you can't hear you,
right?
And I feel like, so when you sing along out loud to the music that you're hearing inside of headphones, I don't know if this is always the case or maybe if I'm just really bad at singing, but it's really bad, right. like the distance, but even if you were just like, singing
in your brain, you sound the exact same,
right?
You're
right,
like,
right.
I'm right there, I'm in tune, I got it, and it's like, I'm probably work a little bit more on that.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, if I were to sing like Blink-182's, like All the Small Things, for example, it's like, I'm sure that if I was singing into a microphone, even at like a karaoke bar or something like that, that like I would sound a little bit better. But if you're singing with the headphones on and you can't hear your own voice, then it sounds real rackety.
Real rackety.
Anyways,
real rackety.
So anyway, that's a total aside, but has nothing to do with your burp situation, which I have a feeling I'm starting to understand as you give me more pieces of the story.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, what the real issue is here is that like a lot of times if I'm just like settling in to like write something or like review like one of our rough cut videos, that's typically when I'll put the headphones on for like an extended period of time. I'll normally put some like lo-fi music on in the background, really like try and dial in. But if you've been around me for long enough, you will know that I don't know why, but I just burp. I just do. Okay. Like it just comes up. I don't have an explanation for it. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be anything, but it does happen and I am aware of it and I get it. Okay. Anyway, moving past that.
Medical professionals remain medical. Divided.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. Sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I just swallow weird. And I'm like, if I just swallow a bunch of air all the time or something, or like, am I drinking wrong? And I'm like, that can't be it. But I'm like, maybe I just like take in a big gulp of air whenever I also swallow like a drink or something. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. It would be so strange if you ever were to be like, if you were ever able to physically step into someone else's consciousness and all of their muscle memory remained intact and you like went to take a sip of water and they literally swallowed differently than you.
Oh my gosh.
And all of a sudden it was like, you could like inhale a whole bunch of liquid because the way that they do it is actually different. And it's like, whoa,
I know
everybody was doing this kind of differently.
I know. Yeah, you wouldn't think this is something you can mess up. It's such like an instinctual thing.
Right.
I have no idea. Yeah. Anyway, so what happens though is that I'll be sitting there going through and all of a sudden I'll just have like, even just like a small just like burp will just like come out of my mouth while I'm going through and the headphones will be like, what was that?
Right.
And it'll shut everything off and it'll be like, oh my gosh, that was so annoying. And then I'm like internally embarrassed by like the headphones. Like it's like the headphones are making fun of me.
It's like, you know? It's like being in a meeting and you burp and everybody stops the conversation and looks at you for like 3 seconds and then carries on.
Right. And it's like, it doesn't have to be that loud at all. Like, I don't even think it would have disturbed anyone else. And it's like, you're in a close, you know, like no one else would have heard it. And it's like, suddenly I'm like, oh, never mind. Someone was watching and it was the headphones. And now I just feel like embarrassed and annoyed that the sound went off and I have to like wait for it to come back on.
Right.
It is so, or to like pause the music sometimes if you're like listening to it, it'll be like, oh, we paused that for you. And it's like, no, I didn't want you to pause that. Or like sometimes we're like watching like the pop, like we're doing the pop premiere and then it'll pause it. And then I have to like speed back up to catch up to the present again. And it's so annoying. And it's like, at one point I had gone through and done the entire like app thing. And like, it was not easy even once I got in the app to figure out exactly what setting turned this particular thing off. But I remember it being layers complicated to do it because in order to turn the setting off, you have to download the app on your phone. Then you have to connect your headphones to the phone, which they're already connected to the computer, like automatic. Like right now, when I turn them on, they automatically connect to the computer and they don't have an option to connect to anything else because that's the only thing they're associated with.
Right.
But once you connect it to your phone, now it has two options. So when you turn it on, it's like sometimes it goes to the phone. It's like, now I got. So I know like after I go through the entire process, I then have to disconnect my phone from the headphones afterwards so that it doesn't accidentally connect to it later on every time I turn it on.
And that, like, the hierarchy of, like, Bluetooth technology is, like, one of these things that I do think it's like I want to better understand how the device makes choices about this, because at one point in time we were, like, on a road trip and we were, like, listening. I think we were doing, like, the directions through Alice's phone and like for the maps or whatever. And so we had plugged it in or had it, like, routed through the stereo or whatever. And then from then on out, despite the fact that my phone had always connected to my truck and still always did connect to my truck, it would always choose Alice's phone over my phone if we were both in the vehicle together.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, this is just unfair.
This is just annoying. Like,
you're my truck.
Right.
You're supposed to know me.
Supposed to know me, man.
Right.
So frustrating.
Anyway, I'm sure it's not personal, but so, I took it that way.
And then anyway, it's not like you can just, like, download it and connect it and then be like, okay, cool, flip switch, done. That's it. Because, like, you download the app and then you have to, like, sign up for a Sony account and go through, like, several layers of, like, answering questions and putting in all these forms just so you can finally flip the switch so that it will turn off the thing in your headphones. And then it's hard to even know, like, whether it has worked correctly until the situation arises again. And anyway, this was just my, I finally went through and did the entire process again, and it took like 15 minutes, which doesn't sound like a long time, but it's certainly like way more steps than should be required to flip one switch so that you can burp freely in your own office by yourself without being embarrassed by your headphones.
Well, it's true. It literally feels like it should be a built-in toggle switch. That's like, it's like, hey, do you want like voice mute to be on or off? It's like, that should be like one of the most fundamental.
Right. It should be right there.
Right there. What happens if I wanted to sing along to my song? I can't do it.
I can't do it because you can't make sounds around these things.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's been fixed. Problem solved for now. We'll see. Anyway.
Okay.
That's it. Okay, yeah. That was my one line. Not nearly as personal as your tattoo story.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I think it is honestly kind of hilarious. And interestingly, because I have the exact same headphones, I am able to highly relate to this particular problem.
Yeah.
Just in that, like, the number of times that something will happen that will cause my like actual activity that I'm focused on doing to be muted. It's like, okay, whatever. We'll get through this.
Yeah.
Total first world problems. Anyway, okay, so moving on from that then to something that possibly could be more meaningful.
Okay,
another note you have here is I'm feeling that vlog itch.
Feeling that vlog itch, dude. No doubt. So yeah, I mean, for years I did the personal family vlog.
Yes.
You know, it was like behind the scenes, SCB, what's up with the family, and I always really enjoyed doing it, but eventually it just became like a little bit much, and I had to like put it on the back burner. I realized I was just falling behind. I brought it back maybe was it just last year? I don't know.
Yeah. It seemed like right around when you had the twins, you had been doing it pretty steadfast up until
until the twins.
But that also kind of coincided almost directly with like the pandemic.
Yeah, COVID. And where then we were really doing nothing.
Right. Yeah. It's like it's hard to give you an update on what's happening out inside of my home because it's pretty much the same thing.
Pretty much the same
every single day.
I'm just barely sleeping and working in the basement. So yeah.
Right. That's a big one. And then from there, I guess you brought it back in 2021.
Yeah.
And we were both doing them for a little while and which was kind of interesting. And I'll say, like, my own personal experience with doing it was that, like, I had always I'd seen yours.
Yeah.
And I would like watch yours and I'm like, this is so cool. Like, I would love to be able to show like what is happening in my day to day life and like what I do behind the scenes or at home or like what like these major life developments I'm going through are. And I dove into it personally for a little while and was sort of like, man, this is just like really cool. And I like love the like finished product and being able to go back and like see like, you know, oh my gosh, like look at all these things that like we were doing and like
set
to music and it's beautiful and like all the rest of everything. But I feel like when I stepped away, it was almost like, I think I scratched my itch for it and it was almost like, I think I'm good. Like
I did it.
Like I think, yeah, it was an interesting one for me where it was almost like when I was done, I think it was kind of like, you know what? Now I know. Now I know whether or not good. That was something like I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And like, enjoyed the process and everything, but you know, anyway, there's like a vulnerability attached to it. So,
yeah.
But that being said, it sounds like despite the fact that you've now been off it again, you're sort of like feeling like, you know what?
Well, so yeah, because I think there's ever as ever is the problem when you do stuff like this and you're putting it like on YouTube and like other people are watching it as well. It's like you start questioning, like, am I making this for me? Am I making this for the viewing audience? Like, am I making decisions in the real world that are being motivated by the potential to get like the more views or be clickier or something like that.
Right. Like you want something interesting to happen.
Right.
Because interesting is then, you know, ultimately like an air quotes, like better product.
Right.
And the other thing, and the weird bias to overcome with this too, is that like you live your own life every single day. And therefore like you typically think like, this has become mundane, or like, this is just like what my everyday always looks like. So like, why would this be interesting to share? But there's always that reality to the fact that like, because you live inside of it every single day, like it might become more mundane to you as an individual. And you might be like then asserting like, well, I need even more, like I need something even more interesting. Like when what your already existing life might just be interesting.
Right.
But I always find this like with like writing in a journal, is like one of the big things I run into is it's like, well, why would I even write this down right now? Like, this is not going to be like, you know, it's like, of course I know I feel this way about this particular thing. But then what I typically do is like, I'll go through spurts where I'll write in a journal for like a week, once every like 8 months.
Yeah.
But then it's always really interesting to go back and be like, man, back in March of 2021, I wrote this. Interesting.
This is how, like, I was feeling then.
It's like, I can remember feeling that way, but it seems interesting looking back on it, even though when I wrote it, I knew it felt very like obvious.
Yeah.
You know, which I also think is kind of interesting. So it's like you may even be like, well, you know, like I see Nick and Nate every day. You know, like, so what is there new or interesting that like I can like in the, you know, developmental processes, like whereas like taking first steps, for example, is like one of the things I was always like, you know, that'd be such a momentous occasion. Like,
right.
First steps. But then also when you live with your kids every day, you don't see them change every day. But if you go back and look at pictures of them from like a year ago, it's like, whoa, you changed a bunch.
I know. It's always so, that's always so exciting. And like, that's one of my favorite things about looking back at like the old vlog stuff is just like, oh man, this is like, look where they came. I'm so glad we made this, because I can like look back and remember this. And when I started up again, I was having a lot of fun doing it. But then like when I sort of decided like, okay, I just need to stop again, I realized that like in stepping away from it, I think I have like sort of like overcorrected a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
Where like I was filming like everything all the time. Like, just always make sure I've got something. And now I'm like, okay, no, I decided not to do it. So now, like
to be more present.
Yeah, to be more, because I wanted to like be more present, because I felt like I was filming too much stuff. But then I feel like I took that to heart, to the point where like I'm not even filming as much as just a regular parent with a child.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like,
it's like, why am I not filming them chasing each other with the hose right now? It's like,
yeah,
it's like because I'm being present. It's like, no, everybody would document this anyway.
Yeah, but exactly. So I've lost sight of the line for like, what is just like, yes, this is a cute thing they're doing, so I want to record it. And everything is like, no, never record it, because then you're not being here, sort of thing.
Right.
And it's like, yes. But then I'm like, no, I think I would have gotten that. So now I feel like I take like almost no video and almost no pictures, like all the time. And like, so the thing that is really like prompting it in my brain is that Luke is starting kindergarten.
Mind blowing.
I know. 1 week from like Wednesday, and so I am like, it is this like giant big like momentous thing that's happening, and I feel like it's gonna like, you know, it will change the day-to-day life of like my entire family for the next, you know, 18, 22 years, you know, by the time the twins are done with high school or whatever. So it's like next Wednesday is going to be this big turning point. And like I want to like, you know, remember that day in particular. And it's like making me want to, and I want to be able to remember how I was feeling on that day.
Yeah.
And like, I just, and it's making me really want to get into it. And like, there's been a bunch of, like, we've had such an eventful summer. We've been all these different places, and like, I've like every time we go, I'm like, this would have been a good vlog. Oh, that would have been a good vlog. Like, and then of course, when I was doing it, I always felt like this isn't a good enough week. This was a boring week. No one cares. And like, but like, since I stopped doing it, I felt like every week would have been great, you know? Right, and it's right. Like, is it, it's like the grass is always greener kind of problem. Where it's like when you're doing it, it doesn't necessarily feel interesting. And then when you're not doing it, everything feels like it would have been interesting.
I know. Yeah. That's a really good point. It's such a great way to place it because, and I think like interesting. So like my end of it again was that basically like forever and ever and ever, the concept for the vlog that I'd always imagined in my head was like live life on purpose.
Yeah.
Like that was the basic premise behind it was like, it's not like trying to do interesting things necessarily just so that it would be interesting to the rest of the world, but it would sort of be like, you know, like so take some of the things I've done this year, like going and getting the tattoo or running the marathon or something. It's like, you know, these are things that like I want the push, like the motivation, like the justification to myself that is okay to try to do this thing for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and so like I think That was the part of it that I really liked about doing it. It was sort of like, man, this is such a good motivator to like really take good pictures or find like interesting perspectives on like how I could film, you know, like cutting an orange or something like right. that, you know? And so like creatively, I felt like there was a lot of like, oh, this is kind of neat, but it's also cumbersome at the same time. So like I you know, I'm getting ready to go on like my last trip of the summer, which is to the lake in a couple of weeks. And like one of the things that I had done for a couple of years, sort of like pending going into doing vlog life, was like getting up at like 5 a.m. to go outside and film the sunrise because it's absolutely like beautiful. And there's like a kaleidoscope of colors and it's like, you know, just like reds and blues and pinks and clouds and whites and all the rest. And it's like just really, really cool. And it was like, I really enjoyed that I had something propelling me to go out and wake up and do that thing. And even if I were to say like, I missed something about social media, like sometimes it's like, it is the question. It's like, who is it for? Like, is it for you or are you trying to post something that is for the world? And I think probably the best middle ground there is almost like you doing something that you genuinely like love and are all about. And I think that just translates to anybody else who sees it is like, this is someone who just cares, you know, about getting the sunrise shot or finding some cool, you know, like it's the first day of school. And every year since kindergarten, we've always taken a picture of Luke next to the tree that we planted the day he went to kindergarten or something like that, you know, like, so it's like every single year that goes by, it's like when he went to kindergarten, we planted the tree.
Right.
And then we take a picture in front of the tree for first grade. And then when he's a senior in high school, it's like, this is a
look
full,
how big the tree
it's
is.
A full blown tree. And, yeah. You know, it's like Luke's first day of school tree.
Right. Exactly. You know? Boom. Here it is. Hooray.
Right. And, you know, over the course of always, you know, that ends up, I think, compounding into something extremely meaningful. And probably that's even like the premise of the vlogs themselves, is that getting to taking the effort and getting to go back and look at like your hard work. Maybe it's for people when you start, but it's for yourself after the
fact. I think that's sort of the approach I'm feeling like. I think the line of the blurred line of what I'm doing it for seems, I've gotten enough distance away from it that it's just become like a dot again. And I feel like the real thing I want to be doing is just like documenting like my kids growing up. Like that is the point of what I want to be filming. And if I like, if it can be like a curated, nice, cool thing that we can go back and watch later, that would be awesome. And I feel like it would be, I'm feeling like motivated to document it again. So this is not me promising that I'm going to do it, but I do feel like I want more of the documentation and to be more intentional about it.
Right. Yes. And I think it's awesome. And you're right. Cause you've had a cool summer. You've done your vegetable garden.
Oh yeah.
Taking some trips.
Oh yeah.
Kids are,
we've had a lot of, very like fun projects and stuff that have all been, really, really good. Yeah. A lot of good trips that, you know, I definitely have lots of good memories from. I feel like they could have been, that that I did not film though in any way.
Right.
Yeah. But so I don't know. That's what I've been feeling. So we'll see. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll pick up the camera again. Give it another shot here.
Give it another whirl.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the day, I think no matter what, this is I call it my intermittent journaling. It's kind of like, you know what? Even if I only do it once every 8 months for like 4 days at a time, it's like I do still end up getting these like interesting little snapshots.
Yeah.
Into my life. So even like, don't let the continuity of it like throw you or something. Like, oh man, like I haven't posted anything like since the kids turned two.
Right.
You know, and it's like, they're three and change now, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know what?
At the end of the day, worried about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. I feel like, you know what? The rest of the vlog can still exist and I can just start with a new sort of like episode one, if you will, you know, reintroduce the characters as it were.
Right.
Like,
right.
Here's the people at the office. This is who I'll be talking most of the time to. Here are my kids. This is where they're at now. And this is where we're going from here. So,
know,
bam. Here we go.
There you go.
Vlog. Actually, on this note, on the vlog, we went to I think the last time I did a vlog was when we were at Disney World earlier this year. I was vlogging that trip and we came home and I edited it and it is uploaded to the channel and I have never made it live. So
no way.
It is just sitting there and I'm like, it got to be like 3 weeks later and I was like, it'd be so weird to just like one off this right now, especially because I've sort of put the camera down and it's like, it's been so long since the last one and there won't be another one, that would just seem random. And so, and then that kept being the problem over and over and over and over. So now I'm saying it out loud so that I can tick it on later.
Right.
So here I'm saying it. I will schedule it to come out. What is today? When you're listening to this, it's Friday. So you know what? I'm going to schedule it for tomorrow, Saturday.
Nice.
Bam, there you go. The Disney vlog is coming. The one you've been waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like for weeks.
For way too long.
Right, yes. Yeah, so yeah. That people knew that it wasn't there and they've been missing it.
And
now you're about to give the people what they want.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yes,
love
so, it. You know, go check it out. Jonathan Carlin Vlogs on YouTube.
Amazing.
Prepare thyself.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, that is super, it's fun to think about. And like I said, I mean, I've got my lake trip coming up and I feel like it's always a trip full of adventures and random little like outings and stuff. And like, that is like one of those where it does feel to me like, you know what, like this is like, I could almost see doing like annual things where it's like, My vlog gets one episode a year and it's my trip.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like each year, like you can subscribe and once a year there will be a new piece of content.
I'll put it on there.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I've actually thought about this. So like I get questions all the time about social media and like whether or not I miss it or like would want to come back. And I would say that I do not miss scrolling at all.
Yeah. Sure.
Even not just like, just not even a little bit. But that being said, like it occurred to me that there have been some occasions like the tattoo or the marathon there like this year where it was kind of like, you know, this is the kind of thing that like I wouldn't be opposed to like showing people like that this happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like boom, like, you know, like this is something that I'm proud of. Or even like with the tattoo, for example, it's been like a strange one where I have found myself being like, do I need to like text my friends and let them know that I did this? Like, is it going to be strange to them or they would be like off? Like put off if like they see me 3 months from now and they're like, what's up with that? When did that happen? And I was like 3 months ago. And it's like, why didn't you tell me? It's like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Like it feels like such a big change to have made. And maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's not that big of a deal or nobody would care. But like, it's like, I was like, I'm going to see people who I see infrequently enough that some time will pass and they will be like, what? What's the story, you know? And,
yeah.
And like, they won't know anything about it. And, so one thought that had crossed my mind was almost like the, in the same capacity as doing like a once a year vlog upload.
Yeah.
Is almost like, posting to my Instagram once per year on, on December 31st. And it just being like, you know how people do like a, like, here's my top 10 from the year. And it's
yeah.
Like, it's like, these are like my top 10 best photos or whatever. It would almost just be like that, except I never posted the photos in the first place. So it would just sort of be like, this was my year. Here are 12 things that happened
right
in my year
this year. Yeah.
Right. That were momentous or important to me. And I will explain what they are.
Yeah.
And that's something that has felt like a way to, Like when we were kids, for example, like I think our dad for a long time used to send out like a newsletter.
Yeah. Definitely a thing.
Yeah. He would like email the family and just sort of be like, this week, you know, we took a trip.
Here's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We went camping. It rained a bunch, or whatever. And it was just sort of these like
I want to say it went before. I don't want to say it predated email.
Did it really?
Like it might've been like a physical piece of mail.
He would have mailed. Oh, we're gonna have to ask Dad.
Yeah,
that would
we're gonna
be
have to ask.
That would be impressive.
I know.
You know, it's like looking back on it, it's like that. I mean, gosh,
Dad is exceptionally good at logging things.
He is.
This is he's got like if you go to our basement, there are like decades worth of meticulously kept and crafted photo albums down there where he would get the photos and write on the back of them and put them in there, and they're nice and organized. There are decades worth of binders of his recorded workouts.
Yeah.
From like, yeah. I think for a very long time, he got like 100 miles a month, either biking or running or something. And I mean over 10 years or something like so. And I remember sometimes it would be the end of the month and to be like, Dad's got to do like a 20-mile bike ride, like down in the basement or something.
Cause he's got to get,
hit the number.
Right.
But like there's that then like from the year in Carlin sort of stuff. And then he had like a blog at work called the Carlin Chronicles that it was going. And like, even, I mean, I don't know, Dad, this is like an extreme talent of our fathers.
I know. Well,
that he is good at recording information.
Yes, I know. It's like, I am so envious of it as well, because like one of the other ones that gets me a lot. So like I said, like my intermittent journaling once every 8 months, or whatever. One of the things that I often wish I would do is like if I'm having like a down day, sometimes it's like everything has just been awful for a long time now. And it's like, what I wish I would do at the end of every single day is just like literally like drop a token in like a bucket or something. And it's like green, yellow, or red. And just sort of like basically be like, was today a good day, a medium day, or a bad day? And that way, like, I could go back and be like, oh, look, you know what? I've actually had mostly good days lately. There's like a couple reds in here, mostly like a handful of yellows or whatever. But I feel like that data sometimes would be so like useful, you know, because you're like, man, I've been having such a hard time. And it's like, have you or was today hard? Because like when you're having a hard day, it feels like the world is like crashing around you. And it's like, I'd be willing to bet that in lots of instances, it's not. At least it's not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah.
But like your mind will latch on to bad things in a way that it is like so unable to do with good things.
Yeah, they're absolutely right about that. I know people do like mood journals or something where it's like every day you'll like just draw like a, you know, it'll be like a bar graph, or there's so many creative ways to do it, but it'll just be like, yeah, just when you get into work, draw a line for how you felt yesterday from 1 to 10,
right,
or whatever. Was it a good day? And then you can just sort of look over the course of the month, and hopefully it's like all, you know, higher up, and you know, you just have a few down days or something.
But that's the thing too, is I feel like the more I feel like I'm having like a hard time, the more I want this data. And then the more things are going well, the more I'm like, this is kind of useless.
Right.
Like, what is this going to provide me?
I can, like, God, even the way you were describing that, like putting it in the buckets, like I can, it's like, that's such a fun, good idea. And I can already see my brain like strategizing around it, being like, you're just putting like on the bad day, I'll look at the buckets and just be like, look, you know that you only put those in there for the situation, and that those are all lies to make you feel better right now.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You know? I have the exact same thing. Or like I will overthink the day itself and be like, was it that bad of a day, or am I just being dramatic or something? You know, and it's like if you're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. Like,
right.
Like, give yourself that. Like, you don't need to justify like, no, you know what? Like, it's like, you know, it's okay to recognize like that maybe is what happened.
Right.
And yeah, so I think that is like how I found myself going for a little while. I remember I had like an app that would like alert me every single night at like 9 PM and it would just be like, how are you feeling today? You know, and like you'd punch in some of this type of information. And I felt like every single day I would so struggle to actually put anything of meaning down.
Sure.
You know? And it was just like, But it's like, that's not, it's like, if you're not going to like play the game, then like, it's not going to be helpful. So
right.
Like,
if you're not going to be honest about it, what's the point?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But like, yeah, that's how I feel. It's like, I work against myself so hard.
And yeah. Right.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Right. Just let it go. So anyway, maybe starting today, I'll start my mood journal back up again.
There you go.
For like 4 or 5 days.
Great. Yeah.
A streak.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, as ever, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Be sure to let us know what your thoughts were on any and everything.
And what your mood is.
What's your mood?
Yeah. What's your mood?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Or on a scale of red, yellow, green, or on a ones or zeros basis, one being good or
lions or scorpions.
Or lions or scorpions. Well, know what you mean.
They don't have to be bad moods. We could just have, you're either in lion mood or you're in scorpion mood, whatever it is, you know?
Right, right.
Why do we have to be, maybe the problem is we're framing it as it's good mood or bad mood.
Right, you know? Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Yeah. Don't even make bad an option, you know?
It's like, was today lion or scorpion day?
It was like, yeah, it was lion or scorpion day. It doesn't have to mean it was a bad day either way, you know? It was just lion or scorpion day.
Right, and you can look back at the data and be like, wow, I'm scorpion a lot more than I thought.
Scorpion a lot more than I thought, yeah.
Maybe I should assess what that
means. It's not a mood journal. It's like a personality journal, and you're just like, man, I am scorpion a lot of the days. I'm so scorpion, dude.
I'm so scorpion.
Boy, as we're saying it, I'm already loving this idea more and more and more. We probably need more than two animals, but you know what? It's a good start. Lions and scorpions.
It's a good starting.
That also sounds like a fun board game. Lions versus scorpions. Who even knows? People will be like, this is a weird choice. And you'd be like, it was weird, but now it just is. So
now it just is. Yeah. All things that seem odd at first end up being less odd later.
Exactly.
Because you got used to it.
Exactly. Yeah. You got used to it.
Profound stuff today.
Profound stuff. Yeah, we're getting deep, man.
Yeah. I will say that I did get a cool piece of feedback from a little kernel, which was they had designed a tattoo several years ago themselves that they had like wanted to get for a long period of time. They'd been on the fence about it. They had sort of parked the idea for a long time. And then they were listening to The Pop, and they were like, listening to your whole like saga and everything had finally like reignited their interest in going to do it. And they actually went and got the tattoo like 3 weeks ago.
Whoa.
So they had actually done it before I had publicly even announced that I was going to do it. And I was like, that is so cool.
Epic.
Yes, that was incredibly neat and fun to see. So congratulations. You know who you are, that you got your tattoo. Well done. Otherwise, guys, all other feedback can go to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you would like to support us over on Patreon, we have an extra bit of content each week's called After the Final Pop. It's an extra 15 to 20 minutes of Jay and I talking about either something we did or didn't get to in the main episode. And there's a huge backlog, all of which is immediately available if you sign up at any point in time. Otherwise, until next time,
pop, pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.